is the author and designer of marriage. So if anybody knows how marriage works best, it must be the guy that invented it and designed it and orchestrated it.
This is Straight Talk.
Welcome to Straight Talk Radio. Thank you for tuning in for another edition with Senior Pastor Mark Job, author and lead pastor at New Life Community Church here in Chicago. My name is Joshua Hollick, and today I'm here with Pastor Mark, and we're excited about what God's doing in the city. There are so many great churches. One of the greatest things Jesus did for the world was to build his church where people can come to know him, and you may not be a part of a church yet. And so, Pastor Mark, what would you say to somebody who says, I love Jesus, but I don't think church is all that important?
Yeah, and I have that conversation often with people, and it's like saying, I believe my family's important, but I don't want to hang out with them. And so Jesus Christ called us to be a follower of his, but to do it in the context of community. And I realize that you can listen to a message like this on the radio, or you can turn on your television or download a podcast, but it's different. Yeah. You need to be connected with a community of faith. New Life is one of those options. There's some great pastors and churches in and around the city of Chicago that I pray with, bless, and would highly recommend in those areas. So find a church that teaches the Word of God unashamedly, that it believes in the deity of Jesus Christ and salvation through his name, that clearly presents the gospel. New Life is one of those churches that's been expanding throughout Chicago. So, Joshua, as you mentioned, we're multi-location. We meet in communities like Little Village, which are primarily Mexican community, but we also meet in places like Lincoln Park or Lakeview that are more young professionals. We meet all the way as north as Rogers Park, all the way as south as Oak Forest, all the way west as Melrose or Montclair, all the way east as in Bridgeport. And so if you want to find one of our New Life locations, you can go to our website and click on locations, and you'll probably find something that's at least fairly close to where you live if you live in the Chicagoland area.
So, friends, our encouragement is find a good, healthy church to be a part of. And if you don't have one and you're looking for one and you've been blessed by the ministry of Straight Talk, check out newlifechicago.org and come give us a visit. We'd love to meet you. We'd love to hear your story. And we believe that Christianity is meant to be lived with other Christians in the world being a light. So come on out and check it out.
Thank you, Josh. Hi, everyone. Today is part 6 of Pastor Mark's series entitled Straight Talk on Singleness, Sex, and Marriage, with his final message called To Marry or Not to Marry is the Question. Our text today will be found in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 25 through 40. Let's jump right into today's Straight Talk with Pastor Mark.
We don't always quite understand exactly God's definition of marriage for our times. We've allowed our culture and our surrounding to define marriage and the family. But if we're going to understand what marriage means from anybody, it needs to be from God, because God is the author and designer of marriage. So if anybody knows how marriage works best, it must be the guy that invented it and designed it and orchestrated it. So the Apostle Paul, in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, is answering questions to the Corinthian believers who were confused about the issue of marriage, and he turns his attention in verse 25 to talk to them about the issue of to marry or not to marry. And I'm going to pick up in verse 25, reading out of the New International Version. It says, "Now about virgins, I have no command from the Lord, but I give a judgment as one who by the Lord's mercy is trustworthy." Now, when you see the word virgins there, it's first of all referring to women in this context. And it's not just referring to women who have never had, who've never been sexually involved. It's referring, from the context we see, it's referring more towards women that are single, and some of them are engaged to be married, or some of them are just single, but waiting to see whether they marry or not. The term virgin is just a generic term in the sense of someone that wasn't married before, but it's talking about single women. The Apostle Paul says, "I have no command from the Lord." In other words, he's saying Jesus did not speak specifically about this topic, or we don't find this specifically addressed in the Old Testament, but nonetheless, he says, but I give a judgment as one who by the Lord's mercy is trustworthy. And although Jesus had not, he's not quoting Jesus in this context, he's still saying what I have to say is trustworthy. In other words, Paul's words were still inspired by the Holy Spirit and just as reliable as any other part of the Bible that you may study. He says in verse 26, because of the present crisis, I think that is good for you to remain as you are. Are you married? Do not seek a divorce. Are you unmarried? Do not look for a wife. But if you do marry, you have not sinned. And if a virgin marries, she has not sinned. But those who marry will face many troubles in this life. And I want to spare you this. Now, Paul is talking to singles that were struggling with the fact, should I get married or should I not get married? There were some that were engaged. And they were asking themselves, is it better for me to break off the engagement or continue on with this marriage? Is it better for me to stay single all the rest of my life? God, really, what should I do? And so Paul is answering their question. And Paul, first of all, in verse 26 says, because of this present crisis. Now, we don't know exactly what was happening at Corinth, but from the historical context, we can assume that there was a few very extreme circumstances that were happening in Corinth at the time. One of those was persecution of the church. It was hard to be a Christian back in those days. The church was being persecuted. People were losing their jobs. There was a lot of opposition. There was a lot of immorality, a lot of ungodliness, a lot of marriages that were falling apart, a lot of divorce, a lot of chaos that was happening. And the Apostle Paul says, this is a crisis situation. And so he says, in light of this crisis, I want to encourage you, first of all, that you should remain just as you are. How many of you know that crisis is not the right time to make major decisions in our life typically? Some people make decisions in the middle of crisis, and oftentimes it's the wrong decision. They have their the job lays them off, and so they have a financial crisis, so they decide, hey, I'm going to get married. Or they have a health crisis, and they decide, okay, I'm going to move to Hawaii. Oftentimes in the middle of crisis, we get confused about things, and a crisis is not the right time to make major decisions in our life. It's better to wait till the crisis is over to make long-term commitments. Some people in the middle of crisis decide, I'm going to get a divorce. Some people in the middle of crisis decide, I'm going to get married. But any wise counselor will tell you, do not make a decision in the middle of crisis. Wait until things have calmed down a little bit. Wait until you are able to get your bearings a little bit, and then you can make a decision in a better way. Paul was telling these people who everybody was ready to change, he was saying, slow down. Because this is a critical situation, let's not jump into anything irrational right now. Slow down and let's not try to make any major decisions at this time. In fact, I believe that one of the major reasons that we make decisions irrationally oftentimes is discontentment. Paul is telling them, he says, if you're married, hey, don't try to get a divorce. If you're single, don't look for a wife. Let's just be content at this moment in this crisis with whatever situation you are in. Try to find contentment. Let me tell you one of the worst reasons to get married, or one of the worst reasons to get a divorce, is if you're discontent. People do it all the time because they're unhappy. People find themselves discontent and they wake up one day and say, I'm just not happy in life. So maybe it's because I've been married to the same woman for 15 years, and if I just had another woman, I think I would really be happy. They're discontent in life, so they want to make changes. And I believe you can really mess up your life when you allow discontentment and unhappiness to drive the decisions that you make. That's true about divorce and marriage, and that's true about buying a house and buying a car or the school that you go to. I think that discontentment is one of the worst ways of making decisions. You say, well, Pastor, how do I know if I'm discontent? Well, I think that some of the signs of discontentment is when you envy, when you have the inability to rejoice at the success of others. You look at other people, instead of being happy that they're succeeding, instead of being happy that someone else is getting married, you become envious that they're getting married. Instead of being happy that someone else at your work is getting a promotion, you develop this anger and bitterness because they're getting ahead and you're not. That's a sign of discontentment. Another sign of discontentment is uncontrolled ambition. When you become a workaholic, when you are driven by ambition and you'll step on anybody and do whatever it takes because you're unhappy with your current circumstance, so you are driven by this unbridled ambition in your life. I think another sign is a critical spirit. When people are discontent, oftentimes they develop a critical spirit. And they become critical about their wife or about their husband. They become critical about their neighbors and critical about their teachers and critical about the weather and critical about anything in life. They just become critical about everything around them and become very negative. Why? Because they're discontent inside, and so they become critical about everything around them. I think another sign of discontentment is a complaining spirit. That you just get in a self-pity party and just complain about everything and bemoan and get into this self-pity as woe is me and everybody's always against me and I don't have things like they have things and I'm the victim. I think that is a sign of discontentment. So I'm going to tell you this, that if you are discontent right now, that God is telling you at this moment in time, maybe you're sitting here in this auditorium and you're sitting right beside your husband or beside your wife, but inside you're discontent. And I'm going to tell you that right now that maybe you've been looking outside of your marriage and thinking, well, maybe it's my spouse that makes me unhappy. Well, God is telling you this morning, stop looking outside, stop thinking about change, and start thinking about remaining in the situation that you're at and making the most of it and investing your energies into making your marriage work. Amen? The Apostle Paul also says in this passage that if you are married, don't seek a divorce, but if you're unmarried, don't look for a wife. Now, I believe that I know some singles that almost act as though their life is on hold or they're not really living unless they're married.
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Jobe in a moment. You are listening to a Straight Talk message entitled, To Marry or Not to Marry is the Question. It's from our series called Straight Talk on Singleness, Sex, and Marriage. Stay tuned to learn how you can get a free copy of this message as well as information regarding Pastor Mark and his ministry at New Life Community Church in Chicago. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark. We're in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 25 through 40. Our message today is called, To Marry or Not to Marry is the Question.
And we have sometimes this idea that some singles have this idea that their life is incomplete, that they're just half of a person, that somehow they are less than whole unless they have a marriage ring on their finger or unless they're in a relationship. And so some singles have in their mind that their life is really not good, that something's really missing in their life and that they can't be quite content and that really their life is on pause. And once they find that right person, then finally they'll really begin to live. So they walk in on Sunday morning and say, God, maybe he's here this morning. They look at the back row and say, no, not here. Middle row, I think Yeah, he might be the guy. And then his wife leans over and hugs. No, he's married. And some singles live their life as though something were incomplete. If they just were married, then finally their life would be complete. And what the Apostle Paul is telling these believers is, in this pleasant circumstance, if you're single, embrace your singleness. It's okay to be single. You are a whole person as a single individual. Embrace the fact that you're single. Embrace the fact that you're married. And learn to be content in your present circumstance. Now, that doesn't mean that if you have a heart to get married, you shouldn't be praying for it. You shouldn't be pursuing it. But it does mean that you shouldn't live like life is on hold, or live like you are in this valley of depression until you find a spouse. Embrace your singleness, be happy with it, and don't make the main aim of your life to change your circumstances right away. Paul goes on to say, but if you marry, you have not sinned. Hey, even though he says don't jump into marriage, he reminds the people that if they do get married, hey, marriage is not a sin. You haven't sinned if you choose to get married. And if a virgin marries, she has not sinned. If a single woman decides to get married, she hasn't sinned. But those who marry will face many troubles in this life. And all the married people said, and I want you to spare you this. Now, those of you that are married, understand this is a true statement. Because marriage entails an amount of work that in your single life you're not going to have to face. He who marries, this is what Paul said, and Paul was a single individual, but those who marry will face many troubles in this life. Why many troubles? Well, when you're single and you get married, you exchange a whole set of issues over here for a whole new set of issues. When you're single, oftentimes you bemoan the fact that you're lonely, or you wish you had a family to go back to, or maybe you really want to have children, or you really want to have a companion to share your life with, and you bemoan the fact that everybody has their place to go, but you sort of feel like you're a misfit and haven't quite found your place in society. And so there's issues that you deal with. Sexual purity is a big issue. But then when you get married, there's other issues. And Paul goes on to describe what those issues are. For example, when you get married, you are no longer just yourself. You have to, everything that you do, have to take in consideration your spouse. You can no longer say, hey, I'm going to get up and go and just leave for a couple days, or I'm going to take a little vacation. Oh, yeah, I forgot. Should I take my wife with me? Hey, you got a wife now. You have the responsibility of a husband and the responsibility of a wife and the responsibility of a household. My grandpa used to say, he says, you'll know you're married. If you want to know what it's like to be married, he says, just put a big barrel beside you. Every time you eat, put food in that barrel. Every time you spend some money, put some more money in that barrel. He says, because now it's two of you, and if you can't handle the barrel, you can't handle being married, is what he told me. And the truth is that marriage entails a whole set of responsibilities that some people are not quite ready to handle. They haven't thought through what it means to take care of a household. They haven't thought through what it means to take care of children, what it means to be responsible and have insurance and create a place that a family can be raised in and do well. And there's a whole set of troubles and issues and responsibilities that marriage deals, that marriage entails. And any married person, if they're going to be honest, knows that it takes work. Some people, I just married a couple this morning right before I came to service here. And at the end of our celebration on the north side, they walked down the aisle and I married them. But I told them before I married them that some people have the idea that all you need is love. Love is all you need. And that's become the little kind of the motto, all you need is love. And so they walk down the aisle, all you need is love. They haven't thought about a place they're going to live or finances. All you need is love. They haven't thought about all the baggage they bring in. They haven't thought about the in-laws. They haven't thought about the kids that they're going to, all you need is love. They're singing. And then they get married and they look at each other with these puppy love eyes. They walk out, and then 1 week after the ceremony, they realize love is good. But it takes a little more than love to make this work, or a redefinition of love, because love is not an emotion. And those same people that say, I do because I love them, oftentimes a year later say, I don't because I don't feel love anymore. And love is more than an emotion. The Bible says, and Paul says, that marriage will take work. It'll bring trouble, issues. And you have to be willing to face those issues. And what it requires is a commitment to say, sometimes I'm going to feel love, and sometimes I'm not going to feel anything. But my commitment is bigger than my emotion, and I commit myself to the partner that's beside me, and I know there will be troubles. If you're here this morning and you're thinking about getting married or you're engaged, let me guarantee you one thing. Marriage will bring trouble. That doesn't mean you shouldn't get married, because marriage also brings its degrees of blessing as well. But realize that it will take work to have a healthy, strong, lifetime marriage will take work and facing your issues. Amen? The Apostle Paul goes on. And he says, but those who marry will face many troubles, and I want to spare you this. Verse 29. What I mean, brothers, is that the time is short. The time for what is short? The time on earth is short. The time for the coming of Christ is short. The time as the end times build up, the time is short. From now on, those who have wives should live as they had none. Those who mourn as if they did not. Those who are happy as if they are not. Those who buy something as if they were not theirs to keep. Those who use the things of this world as if not engrossed in them. For this world, in its present form, is passing away. Wow, he seems kind of dark and gloomy, doesn't it? Well, what Paul is describing is that our life is very short. Marriage is great, but you know what? Marriage lasts only a lifetime. Hear me well. Marriage does not carry over into eternity. Someone asked Jesus one time, they say, hey, when we're in heaven, will we be married? In fact, they thought we're really going to stump Jesus. They said, hey, one guy got married, his wife died, he married someone else, his wife died again. Hey, I wouldn't marry that guy again. Gets a little suspicious after the fourth one, doesn't it? And then when they get to heaven, whose wife... who's he going to be married to? Which woman is he going to be married to? They thought, aha, we stumped Jesus. And Jesus said, in heaven, there will be no marrying or giving in marriage. In other words, in heaven, when you finally reach your eternal destination, you're not going to have a spouse beside you. And I know for those of you that have had a great marriage here on earth, that makes you sad. And those of you who've not had such a good marriage, you're real happy about that. You don't want to be stuck with that person for all eternity. You say, yes, no marriage in heaven. But the bottom line is that the love of God and the grace of God and the goodness of God is going to be so complete in heaven that there will be no marriages in heaven. And what the Apostle Paul is trying to tell us is that marriage should last a lifetime. But listen, your life and your destiny is bigger than just this lifetime. That you need to live with eternity in mind. When you buy something here on earth, don't get so engrossed in your house that you make it the center of your life, because in the end, it's brick and mortar. It's going to go, and you may have invested tons of time and energy and pride into your home, and that's okay to be a homeowner, but when it's all said and done, your home is going to pass away.
You have been listening to Pastor Mark Jobe in Chicago with his message entitled, To Marry or Not to Marry is the Question. It's from his current series called Straight Talk on Singleness, Sex, and Marriage. Join us again on the next Straight Talk for the second half of this message. As I mentioned earlier, if you'd like to have a copy of this message, you can download it for free with our Straight Talk app. Just log on to PastorMarkJobe.com. That's PastorMarkJobe, J-O-B-E.com. There you will find over 45 other series that can help you in your daily walk with God. If you'd prefer to have a CD of the message, contact our office at 773-585-3300. That's 773-585-3300. We also invite you to check out a New Life location near you this Sunday. We have 25 life-giving locations throughout the city of Chicago, and you can check us out at www.newlifechicago.org. That's newlifechicago.org. We'd love to meet you. And please tell them that you heard about New Life through the radio program. We hope that you've enjoyed this broadcast, and we thank you for joining us. Please do listen in to the next Straight Talk. On behalf of Pastor Mark, myself, and the Straight Talk team, we appreciate your listenership. Have a great evening, and God bless.